This week is Parashat Kedoshim. And every few years we get a chance to look at Kedoshim on its own, as opposed to Kedoshim with as the Achrimot Kedoshim together as a unit. And Parashat Kedoshim itself is made up of two chapters in the chapter division. And I don't like to rely on the chapter division often because it's usually questionable. And of course, its source is from Bishop Stephen Langton in the 13th century, dividing up the Tanakh into chapters. But this time, the chapter division actually works very well. Chapter 19, which is 37 psukim, is the first half of Kedoshim. And our focus is going to be on that entire chapter because there's something about the presentation and the structure of the chapter that bears investigation. And I think there's something actually pretty big kind of lurking behind it. Chapter 20, which we won't be touching, is really a sister chapter to chapter 18. Chapter 18 presents the list of the arayot, and then chapter 20 is the punishment for those arayot. Oh, there's some new things mentioned in, and Ovni Donir are included in there as well. We're going to focus on chapter 19. You take a look at this introductory pasuk, set of psukim from the end of Parshat Ki Tisa, and it's really a representative piece, which is nothing to do with Kedoshim except as sort of the apposition. At the end of Ki Tisa, which is after the recovenanting, the luchot were broken, Moshe hewed the new stones, and then Hashem wrote on the luchot what was written on the original luchot. There's a little bit of confusion here because of the way that's presented. But Moshe, these words you are to write down. The brit is based on these written words. Now we assume, because we're dealing with Torah Shebichtav, that everything's written. And what's unique about these is they're written on stone. And what's unique about these is that they're written and kept inside the Mikdash, inside the Mishkan, kept inside the Aron. And the whole Aron is called Aron because the Aron HaBrit. It's the box that carries the Brit, which is the testimony to Matan Torah, which is the Aseret HaDvarim. And now, a little unclear from here, we discussed it. I think this year, Parshat Ki Tisa, about who actually did the writing here. It's a little confusing. But the point is that the Luchot have the words of the Brit engraved on them. Right? And that is central. I think when we take a look at Parshat Kedoshim, we're going to see something kind of interesting emerging. The only other preface to the Perek that I want to look at is the opening comment of the Sifra, the Torah Kohanim, on our parasha. Rashi quotes it. The parasha begins, you look in source 3, now this is the only passage in the Torah that's presented as tell this to the entire congregation. Typically, we understand that Daber al Bnei Yisrael doesn't mean that Moshe is talking to everybody, but he's talking to heads of the tribes or heads of the families or some representative group that then is going to parlay that information further. Here it is, say it to the entire Edah. And the Sifra picks up on that immediately. If you look in the second line in source 2, Melamed Shaparsha Nemra Behakel. That this parsha was said Behakel, meaning gathering everybody together. And this becomes sort of in the Midrashic imagination, this becomes the model for the Hakel that's commanded at the end of the Torah and happens every 7 years. Why is this parsha of all said b'hakel? Most of the essentials of the Torah can be found here or depend on this parasha. So the Sifra here is saying two things, which are one, which is that this parasha was said publicly in front of everybody. It is uniquely said that way, meaning it's the only parasha that was said that way. And the reason that was said that way is because it incorporates or includes vital issues of the Torah. Okay? Now, that in hand, the idea that this was said by Hakel, and you see it in the Psukim, we suddenly notice something else, which everybody picks up on. The Ramban in his comments here picks up. I never have room to put it on. The Ramban points out that if you take a look at these mitzvot, Ishim Ovaviv Tirao, Vetshabtotai Tishmoru in Pasuk Gimel, Al Tifnu Alal Yelim Velay Masecha Lo Tasu Lachem in Pasuk Dalad, it sounds like Aseret HaDibrot. The Sforo even builds a case that it is the first few Dibrot backwards. First Kibbur Avaim, then Shabbat, and then Avodah Zarah. What he does with Lotisat Shem Hashem doesn't really work out perfectly, but it does look like a law code. But as such, how is it different than Aseret HaDvarim, and how is it different than Parshat Mishpatim? Why is this also said Be'Hakel? So I think that if you look at it, there is, and I've highlighted, there is a recurring chorus, as it were, which is Ani Hashem Elokeichem, with all sorts of additions. Sometimes it's Ani Hashem, sometimes Ani Hashem Elokeichem, and then you occasionally have additions like V'yareitem L'racha Ani Hashem, V'lo Techalu Et Shem Kodshi Ani Hashem, etc. We have certain additions that come before the signature Ani Hashem. And I'm calling it a signature because what I'd like to propose is that this entire chapter, Perek Lamed Zayin, was intended to be, and it's like what I called it, Shirat HaBrit, meaning originally law, like lore, was transmitted orally. And not only orally, but chorally, meaning that you'd have a choral presentation of the law, maybe antiphonally or maybe multi-voices, and then they would come together for some sort of a unifying refrain. You take a look at this parasha, and you can see that Ani Hashem seems to be a refrain that concludes a stanza. Let's look through the first few psukim and see what's going on. First of all, the opening pasuk, Daber Kol Daberei Sof Martaliyam. That's really the preface. What's the opening phrase? Kedoshim Tiyu Ki Kadosh Ani Adonai Eloheichem. You should be holy because I am holy. Who am I? Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Now you find that Ani Hashem or Ani Hashem Elokeichem repeats numerous times throughout this parak. And at the end of the parak, you get a broader presentation. Look at the last passage that's highlighted. Ani Hashem Elokeichem asher hoceiti etchem eretz Yisrael ushmartem chukotav kol mishpatai v'asitem otam. Ani Hashem. In other words, what you have is an inclusio. At the beginning end of this phrase, Ani Hashem, the beginning of it uses Elohechem also, talks about the Yetziat Mitzrayim and our obligation to keep the laws. And then Ani Hashem, and this seems to be a concluding passage, and indeed it is the end of the chapter, it's also the end of the parasha, meaning the parashat Mesorah, and afterwards starts a whole new piece, which is, as I said, the consequences of violating the laws of the Arayot, which are at the end of Acharimot. But if you look at the items that are indicated by these signatures, or by this refrain, you'll see an interesting pattern develop. Let's take a look. Let's read through. Kedoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. Now, ish imo, I'm looking at Pasuk Gimel. Ish imo v'aviv tirao v'shabtotai tishmaru, kibur av'eim, perhaps. Some Rishonim read it as being synonymous with kibur av'eim. The Midrash reads it as being parallel to it. And shabtotai tishmaru shmat Shabbat, ani Hashem Elokeichem. Right? So those two, parents and Shabbat, ani Hashem Elokeichem. Then Al Tifnu Alalim Elohim Asecha Lo Tasu Lachem, prohibitions about Avodah Zarah, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. And by the way, at this point, we would expect something grand and something very big to come, whether it's about murder or about testimony or about adultery or about Hashem's name. Instead, you get Pasuk Hei, and what's frustrating if we start with this sense of structure is that Pasuk Hei and then Pasuk Vav and Pasuk Zayin, Pasuk Chet and Pasuk Tet, you have to go all the way to Pasuk Yod to find another signature, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. That's problem one with what I'm presenting. Problem two is that the content of these psukim seems to be far less grand and far less overreaching than the ones that we talked about till now. And it touches on issues that are never mentioned in Aseret HaDibrot or anything surrounding it. Let's take a look what they are and discover what's going on. So after all this grand stuff, if you bring a Koran Shlamim, you have to do it properly, shall we say, to be accepted. And what's that? You must eat it on that day and the next day. If anything left over, the third day has to be burned. The laws of Pigul, which is machashev, which means when you shecht it or you offer it up to intend to eat it past its time. And again, this seems to be a very far cry from the big picture things, the bumper sticker statements that we had earlier. Somebody eats it, they get karet. And then, connected to that, without another break, when you cut your field, you have to leave peah and leket, which is a form of peah, uferet kamacha lo talaket, which is a form of leket in the vineyard, la'aniv la'gerza tazovotam, that you must leave them for the poor, for the stranger, right? Ani Adonai Elohim, and that's her signature. What just happened? So Shadal sheds some beautiful light on the issue of Pigul, which I think puts the whole thing into focus. A person brings a Shlamim. It's a big animal. And you have today and tomorrow to eat it. Today, the day you brought it, which may be midday, maybe mid-morning, not first thing in the morning. And you have that whole day, that whole night, and the next day to eat it. Who is going to be there to eat it? You, your closest friends, your family? Now, it's not going to be enough. So he points out that when you bring a shlamim, you're going to have to invite a lot of people in order to consume it during the required time. And now when all these people come together, first of all, who will they be? They're not all your friends and family. Everybody didn't come to Yerushalayim with you. You don't have 10,000 people who came with you to Yerushalayim. So he says, typically, this is going to be Aniyei Yerushalayim. And Aniyim will come in, knowing that when there's a Shlamim, they'll have an opportunity to eat. Which means part of what happens when you bring a Korban is that you also feed the Aniyim. Another piece of the puzzle, he says, is that when you bring a Shlamim, typically it's for some reason. You had a very good year. Or it could be Shalmei Todah, and you were saved from some near catastrophe. What's going to happen when you get everybody together? You're going to get up and you're going to announce and explain what happened and bring greater Shevach to Hashem. So look at all the pieces that happened, which means that now we're shining a light and saying that Parshat, that passage in Parshat Tzav that talks about how to eat the Shlamim, that's also part of Kedoshim to you. Not just that you're guarding the sanctity of the Mishkan and the sanctity of the Korban, but also that you're ensuring that when you are celebrating and bring the Korban, you are making sure to include the Anim. And not only that, when you harvest your field and you harvest your vineyard, you got to make sure to take care of the Anim. And suddenly, the role of tzedakah, and the role of our taking care of the less fortunate, rises in prominence till it becomes part of our poster, our bumper sticker, our posters, right? And now, watch what happens. Well, you know what? I'm going to skip to the next page because what I did is I reorganized this, didn't reorganize, but broke it up based on those stanzas of Ani Hashem, and now see what it is. The opening statement is Kedoshim to you, Ki Kadosh Ani Adonai Elohechem. Many years ago, I made the suggestion, I'm not as convinced about it, but it may still be the case, that Ani Hashem Elokeichem, which is the refrain throughout this presentation, really is a short form of Kedoshim to you, Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem. And that perhaps that means that every time you say it, you're thinking that, or maybe you're saying that. But in any case, look at how the presentation is. First, fear your parents and Shabbat, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Then the prohibition of Avodah Zarah, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Then make sure to take care of the poor. And now notice there's an add-on. Le'ani v'lager tazovotam, meaning these are the things you're not allowed to do. Because what are you supposed to do? leave them for the poor. Make sure to feed the poor and the stranger. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. And now watch what happens. And this is just in order. I've just broken things up based on these stanzas. The next level that we get to is, and what's the level? A level of building a holy society. The holy society starts with reverence for parents and Shabbat, and of course, Avodah Zarah is being banished. And then, concern for those less fortunate. Now, the next series of psukim really deal with our interactions with each other, with the class of what we might call, if we were talking in Tanakh Hebrew, Am Haaretz, the regular folk, meaning not the poor, but the landed gentry. So Lo Tignovu, not a lot of steal. Lo Tachachashu Lo Tachaku Ish Pamito. Don't lie to each other, meaning to deny a debt. And Velo Tishavu Bishmi Lashaker, don't use my name and lie using my name under oath. And now what's the result of that? By doing so, you will be mechalel shem shamayim. And remember, the whole purpose of this is kiddushim to you, ani Hashem. So that's now the next stage. How, not just how you relate to God and how you relate to the poor, but how you relate to each other. The first is you banish dishonesty and don't use my name to promote your dishonesty. Let's raise the level. Lo tashoket re'acha v'lo tigzol. Don't oppress your neighbor, meaning you've put him to work and not paying him. Lo talin pulat sachrit chad aboker, withholding wages. Lo tekalel cheret v'lifnei v'lo titem mishol. Now, the simple reading of it is, these are all people that you have some power over, that you have the ability to exploit. Don't do that. And there, we have a different preface to the refrain, v'yareta me'elohecha, ani Hashem. You have to fear God, because these are things now that are within. And you know when you have these opportunities, and you know when you're using all sorts of machinations to get around and to violate this. We ratchet it up. This next series is directed towards the judges. Lo tasu ava b'mishpat, lo tisafne dav, lo tadar b'nei gadol, b'tzedek tishpot amitecha. This is a direction to the judges. You got to judge everybody fairly. You can't favor the poor, you can't favor the rich. Lo telech rachil b'yamecha. Now you might think that this is, and we understand this to be a prohibition against gossip. Chazal understand this to be a prohibition against judicial gossip, against coming out of a case and saying, I was voting for you, but I got outvoted, that sort of thing, to share those confidences. Lo tamor adam reyacha, which has many applications, but it includes a direction to the judge to not sit by while somebody's being hurt and not intervene. And now we ratchet it up to what we might see as the climax. That's not the reason the page ended there. That's just the way it played out. Lo tisnat achicha bilvavecha. And the demands being made on this new level are higher. What I want to show you is until we get here, the demands of Kiddusha are rising. Are sort of basic staples. And avoiding Avodah Zarah, that's a kind of a given here. But the concern for the poor, that's raising the level. The way that we treat each other, raising the level. To not take advantage of those that you have interactions with and you are more powerful than, raising the level. To demand of the judges that they act in even a greater form of sanctity and of care. But now watch what the Torah is demanding of us. Lo tisnat achicha b'lvavecha, which means if somebody upset you and you are carrying upsetness in your heart, you can't keep it in your heart. You can't walk around smiling like when you're angry at them. Rather, hocheach tocheach et amitecha. You've got to rebuke them. Why'd you do that to me? Which could be interpreted several ways, including, don't do it in a way that's going to cause more damage. So you have to be very careful how you rebuke, which means, by the way, we're now getting into very dainty issues. You can't keep the hatred in your heart. You got to rebuke them, but you can't rebuke them in a way that's going to embarrass them. There's no simple solution to this. And then the Torah continues with the demand, lo tikom v'lo titor at p'nei amecha. You're not allowed not only to take vengeance, you can't even hold a grudge against somebody in your nation, which, of course, is all a manifestation of v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Because if you see your fellow as being really a fellow and part of your family and part of your kin, you're not going to hold a grudge. They did something bad, so they made a mistake. They did something wrong. Maybe there's reasons for it. Maybe they were in a bad mood. Maybe they're not that nice. But why would I behave that way? Ani Hashem. And by the way, if the parsha ended here, we'd have a very simple time of it. Because look how beautiful this is, and it ends with the three words that are on every uniform on Rabbi Kiva's baseball team. V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. We have songs. It's great. Zekhal gadol Torah. It's beautiful. But it doesn't stop there. So before going further, I'd like to suggest what's happening, and the reason I call this Shirat HaBrit. At the beginning of the shir, I shared with you something we all know, which is that there is a Brit HaChakuka, a Brit that's engraved. It's engraved on tablets, and those tablets sit in the Mikdash. And those are the basic terms of the Brit, Al Pi HaDvarim HaEileh Karati Itcha Brit Vet Yisrael. And that is Bichtav. There is another Brit that I believe was originally intended before Moshe writes the Torah down at the end of his life to be presented as a song. Meaning, I don't mean as a song singing, I mean as an oral presentation. And perhaps chorally. And that the refrain was Ani Hashem Elokeichem. It shouldn't be a surprise to us that in ancient societies, everything was presented orally. Even what we think of as Torah Shebichtav was originally oral. By the way, what's the most famous, the most common pasuk in all of Chumash? Vadaber Adonai Moshe Lemor. And what's the most common follow-up to that? Daber El Bnei Yisrael. It's all oral. I believe that this entire parak was intended to be maintained orally and performed as a multivocal presentation with the refrain that everybody would chime in on, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. And the idea was, this is how the essential messages of what the Torah is demanding of us, what Hashem is demanding of us, to be Kedoshim, because we are the Avadim of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we have to be Kedoshim. Ki Kadosh Ani, that this is how it was presented. And in several of the cases, the refrain was prefaced with either an extra warning or an extra motivation. Now, we move to the next section, and you see something strange. There's three parashot before we get to Ani Hashem, as you see here, and they seem to be, again, deviating from the grand statements of how you treat each other and loving each other, etc., to things that seem mundane, relatively mundane. They're not. The first thing is the prohibition against shatnez and kilayim, which all speak to one thing. At chukotai tishmoru, what's a chok? A chok is an engraved law. In Yirmiyahu, chukot shamayim va'aretz are the laws of nature. You have to obey the laws of nature. In other words, don't mix that which I separated. The first story of Bereishit is all about one word, which is liminehu. Everything is created by its own kind. It reproduces its own kind. You have to observe that and maintain that and not try to mess with that. And so that means you have to respect the borders that I put in. The next parasha is you have to also respect borders that people adopt for themselves. Here is a woman who is a shifcha, so she's not a full free woman, and she's married to somebody. And so you're not allowed to have relations with her. And there's a unique kind of korban, asham, and it only devolves on him and not on her. It's a strange case, but it is again about respecting boundaries. And then the next piece the Torah brings us to is when you come into the land. When you come into the land itself is holy, and the fruit is holy. And therefore, for 3 years, before you can bring, like the Bechor Shor says, before you can bring any of it to God because it's not ready, you can't have any yet. And the fourth year, when it's ready, you bring it to God. And what will be the result of that? Lo sif lachem tfuato. And then there are further prohibitions relating to avodah zarah, all of the pagan practices. And then there are prohibitions relating to different ways in which you would defile the land. And then it comes back to issues, again, of Avodah Zarah. So this whole section is about not violating the sanctity of the land with its holy fruit by acting in a way that similar to the Ovdei Avodah Zarah that came before you. And notice we come back to the stranger and to the poor, right where we started. Remember, we started the parasha with the grand statements of parents and Shabbat and Avodah Zarah, and then immediately went into a long parasha about taking care of the poor. That's where we end again, in pure chiastic fashion, ending where we began about being careful with the ger. And remember, there's a reason. If you give him a time, Eretz Mitzrayim. And then it comes back to proper judgment, which was a theme running through the entire presentation. And what's the end of the presentation? Ani Adonai Elohechem asher hotzeiti etchem me'eretz Yitzrayim. Ushmartem et chukotai v'kol mishpatai v'asitem otam. Ani Adonai. And that's how this whole piece ends. So I'd like to suggest is that what we have in front of us in these 37 psukim, really 36, because we'll start with Kedoshim Tiyur, the middle of Pasuk Bet. What we have in these psukim is an elegantly choreographed public presentation of the essence of the law. This is, if you will, the matching set to the Aseret HaDibrot. The Aseret HaDibrot are the engraved, written, kept away, kept discreetly in the Aron. And this presentation of the Brit is the publicly repeated, sung together, presented together with the refrain, with a call and response presentation of the law. That between those two, the Torah Shebichtav and the Torah Shebaal Peh, where it starts, is where the notion of Avdut to Hashem, that's the written law, and Kedusha, which is in this presentation, come together. And so, something to think about, and I'm very interested to hear what your responses are, your reactions are to this presentation of Parshat Kedoshim. But I believe that the Midrash makes the comment that the Ramban here talks about the significance of Parshat Kedoshim as really being something of a parallel to the Aseret HaDibrot, is really more anchored in that, in seeing it as being not the balancing act, but the other piece to the puzzle of the written, discrete law that's kept in the Mikdash and the oral presentation that's performed publicly. And that's why it's called Adat B'nai Yisrael, L'Maneh Parsha Zun Ne'emra Be'Hakel.